Good morning, and we welcome you to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. Today, and for the next few editions of the program, I'd like to talk about the New Testament church and the importance of it in our lives. There are so many people today that will not be a New Testament Christian and assemble with other Christians in a local church. It's just not that important to them. To others, it might be important, but they don't understand what the New Testament church is from a New Testament perspective. All they know about religion is modern-day denominationalism. Just pick the church of your choice. So I hope that over the next few weeks, we can explore the New Testament church and be that people that God wants us to be. Jesus said in Matthew 16 and verse 18, "Upon this rock I will build my church." We want to be the church belonging to Jesus Christ and nothing else. And so this morning, I want to talk about the importance of the church. On any given Sunday, for example, you'll have people doing all kinds of things rather than assembling in the local church to worship God. They'll be out playing golf. They'll be out camping and boating and fishing and other kinds of hobbies, or maybe just sitting around on their phone at home or doing yard work or many kinds of things. But the church is not important to them. And I'm afraid that as we get to the younger and younger generations, it's not important to them because it wasn't important to their parents and so forth. I remember as a child, many people were members of denominations. Today, many people are just nothing. And so I believe the place to begin in talking about the New Testament church is to talk about the importance of it. And the way that you learn the importance of something is to talk about what it is and what it costs. What it is and what it costs. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. A lot of people will be a part of something if they realize the importance of it. They will be a part of a group if they realize the importance of it. There are political groups here in town that people are members of because they feel that it's important to get involved and promote a particular political cause. There are other groups that people will join because maybe it's a charity, and charity is important to them. Giving to the children or to the poor or whatever is important. And so they will join a charity group. They will join a political group. Some groups are formed in order to approach the school board or the city council or the county council. There is some agenda in Montgomery County that's very important to them, or maybe they have children in school and they're concerned about their child's education. So they'll join a group that presents a particular idea to the school board. We join things that we believe are important, and we will be a member of the Lord's church if we truly realize that it's important. I believe that's one of the big problems today. Many people just don't understand the importance of the New Testament church. So this morning I want to talk about what it is and what it costs, and that hopefully will help us to begin to see the importance of being a member of the New Testament church. I can't think of a book in the New Testament that speaks of the church greater than that of the book of Ephesians. And so some of the passages that I'm going to be looking at this morning come from the book of Ephesians, where Paul extols the glorious church. The glorious church. And that is a showing how important it is. Now, when we speak of church, it's always good to remind ourselves that we're talking about people. People. Everywhere the word church is used in the New Testament, refers to people. One place where I like to illustrate this is in Matthew chapter 18, when Jesus is talking about when one brother sins against another brother. Matthew 18, verse 16, "But if he hear thee not, take with thee two or more, that the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuse to hear them, tell it unto the church. And if he refuse to hear the church, let him also be as the Gentile and the publican. Tell it to the church. Well, you don't tell it to a building. You tell it to people. People are the church. Another place where I like to illustrate this is in the book of Acts, when Saul of Tarsus, before he became a Christian, he was persecuting the church. Well, he was persecuting people. He wasn't persecuting a building. But Saul laid waste the church, Acts 8:3, entering into every house, dragging men and women, committed them to prison. The men and women are the church. So we're talking about people. So when we talk about the importance of the church, we're talking about the importance of being a member with other Christians. That's the New Testament church, people. And when we understand what this group is, this group of people, and we understand the price that was paid for it, I hope that we can begin to see the importance of the New Testament, we might say the New Testament people, instead of the New Testament church. But the book of Ephesians gives us some importance of this New Testament people, this church. And I want to begin in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9, if you have your Bible, Ephesians 3, 9. Let's talk about what is the church? What is this group of people? Number one, the church is the eternal purpose of God. The church is not an afterthought. The church is not a substitute. The church is not some last minute thrown together haphazard plan. It's something that has always been in God's mind, even before Genesis 1 and verse 1. That shows you the importance of the church. The Apostle Paul declared that the church was a part of the scheme or plan of God's salvation. But look at how he describes it in Ephesians 3, 9. Paul has been talking about his role in preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. And then he says in verse 9, and to make all men see what is the dispensation of the mystery, which for ages has been hid in God, who created all things, to the intent thou now that unto the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places might be made known through the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now we're going to talk about God's wisdom in a minute, but notice this eternal purpose. And it was something, verse 9, which for ages has been hid in God who created all things. This is a plan that God has had and hidden, but now it's revealed through the gospel. But for ages, it has been God's plan. And it's according to his eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus. The book of Ephesians is a beautiful essay on the church. It shows the high place of the church. Since God's purpose before the worlds were founded, to have Christ purchase and build a church, we can easily see that this is an important group of people. And any teaching that takes away from that is false teaching. One man-made teaching, premillennialism, teaches that Jesus came to establish an earthly kingdom, and when the Jews rejected him, he put in the second string, the second plan, the backup plan, and it was called the church. And that's the plan now, but he really wanted to establish an earthly kingdom. Well, the church is not just some, you know, second string B team, second plan, afterthought plan, thrown together plan. It is the plan from the very beginning. And the church would be the kingdom on earth, but not a physical earthly kingdom like a physical nation with a physical headquarters. Luke 17, a kingdom in the hearts of men and women. And so his plan was carried out, and the church is not an afterthought or an afterplan. This was from times eternal and from ages past. So number one, the church is the eternal purpose of God. That shows us that it is important. Number two, the church exemplifies and shows God's wisdom. We just read that in verse 10, to make known through the church the manifold wisdom of God. That's very important. The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth, 1 Timothy 3:15. And the church is brought about by God's wisdom in the Scriptures. It upholds God's wisdom in the Scriptures. We embody the truth. We exemplify the truth of God's Word and God's wisdom. We demonstrate God's manifold wisdom. It's not just singular or one level, but manifold, many-folded. Wisdom upon wisdom upon wisdom. The word manifold suggests that God's wisdom is many-sided. And even heavenly creatures or powers can look at the church and see the wisdom of God. This is not made known just to human beings, but verse 10, it's being made known to heavenly beings. They can see the wisdom in the church. So number two, the church is important because of God's wisdom. Number three, the church is important, and friends, we need to be baptized into the body of Christ, into the church of Christ. It's important. And while golf and fishing and boating and going to the beach and all that might be fun, it is. And even though we might have some hobbies or things that we need to do around the house, that's fine. We need to set some priorities in our life and put a premium and a priority on the church and being a member of it. Number three, the church is the creation of God. Anything that God creates is important. This physical universe that he has created and the church. There is a physical creation, Genesis 1:1, and there is a spiritual creation, which is the church, a new creation. We need to be greatly interested in anything that God does, anything that God creates. And one thing that God created was the church. He authored it, he designed it, he purposed it. And in this same book of Ephesians, we see another reason why it's important, and that is, it's something of God's creation. In Ephesians chapter 2, when Paul talks about the church, he describes it as Jews and Gentiles who come together in one man, and Paul declared that Christ took the Jew and the Gentile and made them one. Look at verse 15, that he might create, in himself of the two one new man, so making peace. He also wrote in verse 10 that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. Also look at the word workmanship. Christians in the church are God's workmanship, and we've been created in Christ Jesus for good works. You could turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And put on the new man, that after God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. God's truth in the scriptures, what he uses to create us in righteousness and holiness, but we're God's creation. Paul will say it outside the book of Ephesians in 2 Corinthians 5:17, you are a new creature in Christ. creature, creation, created. We sing in our songbooks about the church, the church's one foundation. We sing, "She is his new creation by water and the word." God purposed the church and Christ built it. It's his church, Matthew 16:18. It's his creation. It's called the new or true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, not man. Hebrews 8:2 and 9:11. This is built and planned and designed by Almighty God, deity. He planned it, he built it. And that obviously shows the importance of it. Because God planned it perfectly, and because Jesus built it perfectly, therefore the church exemplifies the creation of God. And God doesn't make junk. God does not create bad things. And so we need to be a part of God's creation, number three. And that's very important. Here's a fourth reason why the church is important, again, from the book of Ephesians. And that is, the church is the body of Christ. The body of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1, speaking of Jesus, God put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness that fills all in all. Let me ask you something, friends. How important is your body to you? Well, you'd be like, well, it's very important. I've got to take care of it, and I want it to look a certain way, and I want to be healthy and all that kind of thing. We typically don't just go around beating up on our body because we don't think it's important. Well, the body of Christ to Christ is important. His body, his church, is important to him, and we need to have that same importance. If the body of Christ is unimportant, then Christ himself is unimportant. If the body is unimportant, then the church, the head, connected to it, is unimportant. Now, who would say Christ is not important? Well, there actually might be a lot of people who would say that. But we don't need to be saying that. All of us who have a respect for the Word of God, recognize that Christ is important. He's the divine Son of God, and he has a body, a church, and it is important as well. The body of Christ. In fact, Paul is going to use that very point in Ephesians chapter 5 with regard to husbands and how they take care of their wives. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, be in subjection unto your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, being himself the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives also be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it. We're going to come back to that in just a minute when we talk about what it cost, what the church cost. But let's keep reading right now. That he might sanctify it, having cleansed it, that is the church, by the washing of water with the word. There's your baptism. We have to be baptized into Christ, and we have to obey the words of Christ. And when we do those two things, we're cleansed by the washing of water with the word, and we can be that church. Because Paul goes on to say that he might present the church. We're talking about the church. We're not talking about physical washing of water to take a bath or take a shower. We're talking about baptism, being born of water and spirit, John 3:5. Or the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, Titus 3:5 and following. it's baptism and obedience to the word that causes us to be in this church, that he might present the church himself a glorious church, not having any spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Even so ought husbands also to love their own wives as their own bodies. Christ loved the church, which is his body. The husband who loves his physical body, like Christ loved the church body, the husband is to love and take care of his wife. And look at what he says. Verse 28, even so ought husbands also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He that loves his own wife loves himself, for no man ever hates his own flesh. Paul is speaking in generalities. You might find some exception to that, but typically we don't hate our own flesh. We want to take care of our own body. We stand in front of the mirror and we want to make sure we look good, and that we feel good, and we eat right. No man ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, even as Christ also the church. So just like you believe your own body is important, especially the husband, Christ believes his body, his church, is important. So Paul says, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Number four, the church is not a physical body of Christ. Christ had a physical body, and he also has a spiritual body, and it's important. It's important to him. And notice that Paul calls it a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. That shows its importance. This is not just some casual group that you may or may not be a part of. Brethren and friends, this is important. And in Montgomery County, in Clarksville, there's a group, the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. There is a New Testament church that is important, not self-important. It's important by God's description. We don't walk around saying, hey, I'm important. This importance is described in God's word, and there is a body that you can be a part of. Let me encourage you to be a part of what is important. Number five, the church, the New Testament church, is important because it is the fullness of Christ. This is a principle sometimes that gets overlooked. This is where you can truly be full in life. So many people want to be filled with money. They want to be filled with power. They want to be filled with fame. They've got these empty things in their heart. Their heart and mind is empty, so they're going to fill it with things and money and worldly relationships and power and greed and that kind of thing. They're trying to fill a void in their heart and in their life. And the way to be truly filled and full is to be in the body of Christ. Back in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, the church, which is his body, look at this, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The church is the fullness of Christ. But what is meant by that? It means that the church is filled up by Christ. It means that whatever we need to be full and filled is in Christ. There's nothing outside the body of Christ that we need. We can be full and complete and content and satisfied. When you're full after a meal, you're satisfied. You don't want anything else or anything more. And when we're in the church and we're following that New Testament word in our life, we are full. We don't have to be seeking these other kind of worldly things. There's no void to fill. It's filled up with Christ. That idea of fullness and filled is found a lot in Ephesians and in Colossians. And Paul is trying to write to Christians to say, you can be full or filled with Christ, and you don't have to be seeking other things out in the world. And then last of all, number six, the church is important because of what it costs. Typically, things that cost a lot of money are very important. We tend to put value on something based upon how much we paid for something. If you pay a penny for something, it's not as important as if you pay $1,000 for something, or $10,000, or $100,000, or $1,000,000. As the price goes up, the importance of something goes up. And the price paid for the church is indicative of the importance of the church. So what is that price? Well, we already read in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it. In 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20, Paul writes, for you were bought with a price. That's the blood of Jesus. Glorify God, therefore, in your body. Turn with me to Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, when Paul is talking to the elders of the local church at Ephesus. They're watching over a group of people, and they have to be reminded of how important this group of people is. Acts 20, 28, take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you bishops or overseers to feed the church of the Lord, which he purchased with his own blood. You're watching over a group, number one, that the Holy Spirit has made you to watch over. That right there is important. And then this church, this people, this flock is purchased by Jesus' own blood. The church is inseparably connected to the blood of Christ. If the church is unimportant, then Christ's blood on the cross is unimportant. Who would say that? When we're preaching the church, we're preaching the blood of Christ. And when we preach the church, we don't deny the blood of Christ. It's the blood of Christ that purchases it. So friends, the church of Christ is important because of, number one, what it is, and number two, what it costs. Please be a member of that. Get that into your life. Let me help you to get that body, that church, where you are a part of that, where you're filled, completely filled, and you are a part of the body of Christ, and you're a part of that creation of God. And you're a part of that wisdom of God, and you're a part of that eternal purpose of God. The church is important, friend. Get that in your life immediately. Thank you for being with us on the program this morning, and I hope that you'll have a good day.